Damon just opened in prayer, but I'd like to pray again too. That's all right. Just covering the bases. Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that you desire to speak to us and you desire for us to hear you. And we just ask, Father God, that your way would be done here this evening, that they would know what it is you would have them to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. I want to thank Glenn for asking us to be a part of this and share. I think it's been about 10 years since I've shared, yeah. And you know, that's kind of different. Oh, do I need to hold this up? You want to hand those out? So Glenn had asked us to read a book. You know, it was called Hearing God by Dallas Willard. And we got it back in December, and, you know, we were going to read it and, you know, talk a little bit about it. And then in February, we were going to share. Well, I got to tell you, I'm still not all the way through it. it's kind of some heavy reading. I mean, it's good. It's got a lot of good stuff in it, but it's not a quick read by any means. And Friday night, we had debated who was going to speak this week, and I thought maybe I was going to share next week. And then when I found out I was going to share this week, I thought, well, I'm going to read a little bit more, and then I'm going to stop and work on this. And so I didn't get the last couple of chapters read, which were really the two chapters I really wanted to read the most. So I haven't read those yet. But this morning, about 6 o'clock, that dawned on me that I still hadn't finished it. And so I just flipped it open and began to look at a couple of things. And, you know, I was just really blessed because it was talking about a couple of different points about hearing God. And those were points that I had touched on. And I hadn't got to that part of the book, so that made me feel really good. So maybe I was hearing God. you know, reading this book has been a really wonderful growing experience for me, and I really appreciate that opportunity. Some of what I'm going to share tonight is from the format in this book, but most of what I'm going to share is just my experiences and how I feel that God has talked to me over the years. One of the questions that I think all of us face is, can I hear God? And, you know, I'd have to say the answer to that is yes. If you are seeking God, you can hear him. And I think the next question, if we decide we can hear God, is, well, why would he want to talk to us? And how many of you are parents? Okay, so if you're not a parent, I know you had a parent, right? So you either are a parent or you had a parent. And, you know, parents like to talk to their kids. They like to have that conversation with them. And I can tell you that over the years, when our parents were alive, Susan was much better about talking to them than I was. but I probably talked to Mom and Dad at least a couple of times a week. And, you know, there'd be times when we'd get really busy with work and church and various things, and we wouldn't call and we wouldn't talk. And then there were times when we were struggling with things, and maybe we didn't call because we were kind of avoiding talking about what was going on in our lives. You know, even though we knew that probably talking to them would be the very thing that we needed to help us, but sometimes we would avoid them. And it's kind of the same way with God. You know, he knows how busy we are in our lives because we get wrapped up in this world and we get busy and we don't talk to him like we should. But he also knows when we're avoiding him. And I just got to say, he has answers for you and he would like to communicate with you. You know, even when we weren't communicating with our parents, it didn't change how they felt about us. It didn't change their love for us and their care for us and concern. But that communication just wasn't there. Personally, I think we have a lot of misconceptions about what it means to hear God. And if we don't hear the same way somebody else does, if we don't have those same spiritual experiences that somebody else does, then we might even begin to doubt whether we can hear it all. And I can tell you, I've been there, that I've thought, why didn't he talk to me like that? Why don't I hear God like that? And, you know, sometimes we have to be careful because we can get discouraged. And we don't want to, we want to be able to rejoice in other people's experiences. And when they share about what God's doing in their life, we want to be able to encourage them and be, you know, be an encouragement to them and not get discouraged by it. But sometimes it'll make you feel like maybe you're less spiritual than somebody else. And maybe you don't measure up. And maybe you're not even important enough for God to talk to you at all. And I can tell you, I'm speaking from personal experience here. You know, I haven't had some of the same kinds of experiences that my husband's had. I haven't had some of the same kinds of experiences even my kids have had. But I still know, and I know more today than I knew 6 months ago or even 2 months ago. I know he talks to me. So let's look at this word communicate. He wants to communicate with us, and I believe he wants to communicate on a lot of different levels. And communication, as we know, can take on many different forms. Now, when I study the Bible, I like to dig into the meaning of words. I like to use the Strong's Concordance. I like to look up the Greek and the Hebrew meaning of the word. And I have Karen Elsie to thank for that because she's always done that. And I love the way she digs into words. And, you know, of all the Bible teachers I've ever heard, she's my favorite. And I'm just really blessed that she's part of this body. And I miss her. You know, I miss her. I like to reference the Amplified Bible because it kind of opens it up and expounds it when you're reading. And sometimes I just like to pick up the Webster's Dictionary and see what it has to say about a word. And, you know, you may think that, well, that's not very spiritual to use a dictionary. But I believe that God meets us right where we are, and he can use anything he needs to get through to us. And here's what Mr. Webster has to say about the word communicate. It means to make known, to give to another, transmit, to give or interchange thoughts or information, or to be connected, as in rooms. So why does God want to communicate with us? So he can make himself and his ways known to us. So he can give or interchange his thoughts or his information with us. And so we can be connected to him. I want to look a little closer at that second one, which was to give to another or transmit. You know, we think of that word transmit, we often put a negative connotation on it, like transmit a disease. But what the Webster says about the word transmit is that it is to send or convey from one person or place to another, or to pass on by heredity. And I'm sure that sometimes somebody could preach a whole sermon on the heredity in that transmission of God talking to us, because we are heirs of salvation and joint heirs with Christ. This book that we've been reading suggests, when you think about hearing from God, that you look at the Bible and you see how God spoke to people in the Bible and use that as a guide in understanding how he speaks to us today. And it lists six different ways that people have heard from God. And there's so much information there that I think we could probably study it for weeks. And I've outlined them for you on a handout, along with some scripture references. And you'll see it's big print, because I like big print. And it's two pages. But this is these six ways that this book outlined that he talks to people in the Bible. I'm not going to cover all these verses. But if you would feel led to learn more, I would suggest that you look these up. And, you know, sometimes we don't spend a lot of time in the Old Testament, and we forget there's some wonderful stories there. And a lot of these are Old Testament scriptures. So the six ways, if you want to look at your little handout here, the side that says hearing God, the first of those six ways that God spoke to people in the Bible was through a phenomenon plus a voice. And you'll see several scriptures there. And the one I really like to point out is Matthew 3, 16 and 17, where it talks about how when Jesus was baptized and the dove descended from heaven and there was a voice that said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." It was a phenomenon, something that happened, plus a voice. And then there's the supernatural messenger or an angel. And in Joshua 5:13 through 15, the captain of the Lord's host appeared to Joshua. And you know, one it didn't even mention here that is probably my favorite is when the angel came to Mary and told her that she was going to have a son. That's probably my favorite. Then there are dreams and visions. And one thing in the book that talked about dreams and visions was that dreams tend to need more interpretation than a vision. Okay, so if you ever wondered kind of what the difference between the two is. And in Genesis 37, 5 through 9, it talks about where Joseph had the dream where he was ruling over his brothers. I always loved that story as a kid. You know, he was bragging to his brothers, and they threw him in a pit and later sold him off into slavery. And that started a huge, long story about, God bringing them back together and all the wonderful things that God did through that. The fourth one is an audible voice. Genesis 22, 11 through 12 and 15 through 18 is where God speaks to Abraham when he's getting ready to sacrifice Isaac. And there was a voice that said, "Stay your hand. I'm providing." And he provided the ram in the thicket for him. The fifth way is the human voice. And there are lots of ways to think about the human voice. It's probably the most common objective way that we hear from God. God and the person he uses speak conjointly. They speak together. God is speaking along with human beings, and it may be that the one spoken to is also the one spoken through. Does that make sense? That he can speak through you, and it's for you. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, and this is in an NIV version, says, "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, that I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching, they were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." And that was Paul talking there. And basically it's saying, I'm nothing and what I have to share. But when God comes on the scene, it becomes something that somebody can relate to. And then the last way is the human spirit or the still small voice. And I think I've learned more about that one in reading than any of them together. And in 1 Corinthians 2, 16 says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we might instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." And John 10, 2 through 4, 14 and 27, "The shepherd of the sheep calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." And, if you want to take those and read any of those other scriptures and stories, I would encourage you to do that. And I want to tell you that of those six ways that are listed there, I've experienced three of them, maybe four. I have never experienced a supernatural messenger or an angel. Or if I did, I was just too dumb to realize it. But I don't think I ever have. I have never had the kind of dreams or visions described in the Bible. Now, I've had dreams where I was preaching. I've had dreams where I was commanding evil spirits to depart in the name of Jesus, and sometimes it seemed like it was really powerful stuff. But I don't think I've ever experienced the kind of dream that needs to be interpreted. And I've not had any open visions. I'm not sure if I've actually heard an audible voice or not. In the last year or two, there have been a couple of different times when I thought I heard Sandra. And I got to tell you, it kind of sounded like John. You know, because sometimes when he's really trying to get my attention, or if I've fallen asleep, Sandra. And it was kind of like that. But he wasn't around, so I know it wasn't him. And, you know, I didn't really pursue it, so I don't know if it was God. And I guess the thing to do is to learn to listen and to say, yes, Lord, is there something here for me? And, you know, I told you there that I've never had a dream or a vision, but Mary has, and I want her to share just a minute.
I was discussing mom teaching this week, and she was talking to me about the six ways that she was going to talk about, and she said dreams and visions, and it immediately came to me, the time one saved my life. For those of you who are not aware, in 2013, No, I'm sorry. In 2003, I'm 10 years off. I was 6 months pregnant with a boy. And I had been horribly sick for days. And I had been to the hospital twice. And both times been sent home. Presumably, you are a new first-time pregnant woman and you're fine. Go home. But I had been sick for days and days. We lived in Columbia at the time, and we had traveled here to stay with my mom and dad because I was so sick. My husband was also sick at the time. One morning, and after mom shared that about how dreams may need more of an interpretation, I'll be honest, I cannot tell you if I had a dream or if I had a vision. But I awoke one morning, and I had seen myself lying in the bed I was lying in. And I had seen my husband awake next to me and try to wake me and pull back the covers, and I was bled out in bed. I immediately knew something was horribly wrong. And I jumped out of bed and I woke my husband. And God was in it in so many different ways that I can't even tell you. You know, I told my husband immediately, I said, something is horribly wrong. This is what I've seen. You need to drive me back to Columbia right now. We need to go to the hospital in Columbia right now. He didn't argue with me. He didn't try to, you know, question me more on it. He didn't try to convince me that Kirksville was closer or... And what I found truly amazing about it was that that particular morning, I actually, when I awoke, physically I felt better than I had in days. I'd been sick for a week, and I actually, physically, I felt better. And yet, because of the vision I had had, I knew something was horribly wrong. And we drove straight to Columbia, packed our bags, and we were out the door in a matter of minutes, and we drove straight to Columbia. And once we got there, we found out that we had lost our son and that I had developed an extraordinarily rare condition that I was, as the doctor put it, she believed I was less than 24 hours from bleeding out, which was exactly what I had seen in my vision. God was in it in so many ways that I can't even put my finger on all of them. You know, down in Columbia, there are lots of doctors. When we got there that day, my personal OB-GYN just happened to be the one who was on call that weekend. It was a Sunday. Although the condition I had was so rare, she had actually treated it once before. not successfully. I believe that because of that, because she had lost the last patient, I believe that she had researched it and been more diligent about the phenomenon and the study, and she knew about the new procedure that was out that had only been out, that had they'd only been using it for maybe a couple of years. It was very cutting edge, you know. That procedure went on to save my life. You know, I believe that God's timing is perfect, and I believe that everything happened exactly as it was designed and as he ordained, and I believe he brought it all to me in a vision. And I believe I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that vision.
No, that's true. That was probably the hardest thing our family had ever been through when that happened. And, you know, I remember when we got to the hospital, because they'd gone on before us and we got down there, they'd called back and said they'd lost the baby. So we immediately went down. But we didn't know that she was in danger at that point. And when we got there, they said, "We're not sure she'll make it." You know, so thank God for dreams. And they're not all that heavy. You know, I'm sure people have dreams that are not that heavy, but I do believe it saved her life. I want to tell you some ways I think that I hear God, and one of them, the first one is the phenomenon and a voice, and I'd have to actually say it was voices, and this was something that John and I experienced together back in about 1981 or 82. We had joined a charismatic church at Greentop, and we were very young. We were in our early 20s. We lived in a little two-bedroom trailer house that was 8 or 10 feet wide, you know, where you sat on the couch and put your feet out, and you've taken up half the floor space. The living room, the dining room, and the master bedroom were smaller than this platform behind us. But, you know, it was a good time in our life. Mary was about a year old, and we were very excited about God and what he was showing us and the things that we were learning from our new church family. And the thing we were learning from them was that we could hear God. You know, I'd been raised in a denominational church, and I didn't know that. I didn't know that you could expect to hear from God. So I had no expectation. So in our excitement, you know, we wanted to do things. And every time there was an opportunity to go hear the word preached, we did. We spent a lot of nights at Bible studies, you know, from 7 o'clock in the evening till 3 o'clock in the morning at somebody's home, you know, probably here in town. We'd drive back to Gifford. He'd go to bed for an hour and get up and go to work the next morning. And we did that for weeks on end. But at this particular time, when we were living in this trailer, we were working on a song, and it was the first time that he and I had ever done a song together. We were going to sing it as a special at church. And so we'd sing it over and over and over, and the song was called "He Means All to Me." And, you know, we would sing it, and we'd work on it, and as we were going over this song, we closed our eyes, and he's playing the guitar. We're sitting in the middle of the living room floor. He's playing the guitar. We're singing, and all of a sudden, we heard an audible choir and an orchestra with us. And I can't say the voices were singing words, but it was more like a harmony. And I know we heard violins and we heard horns. And it was so cool. And we stopped singing. And he said, "Did you hear that?" And I said, "I did." And then we were so mad at ourselves, because then it was gone. And we have sang together for over 35 years, and we've never had that happen again. But I can tell you, the music of heaven is pretty astounding. And so that was, you know, as a young person, to have that happen, it was just an encouragement to us that God wanted to share that moment with us. The second way that I've heard God is through the human voice. And this can be lots of different things. It could be through someone preaching or singing or someone having a personal word for you in a service or even just in a conversation. And Damon, I cannot tell you how many times, probably for the last 3 or 4 years, I don't even know how many years you've been here now, but how often the message you give is such a close reflection of conversations we've had all week long. And what a testimony that is, that, you know, God's talking to all of us at the same time. And I really appreciate that. Not only does God speak to us through others, but he'll speak through us if we allow him to. And I would like to read an excerpt from this book because I thought it was a really good description. And it goes back to that scripture about Paul, about how, you know, I'm nothing and it's not with my power but with the Holy Spirit's power. And this is a description that somebody by the name of Samuel Shoemaker gave, and I don't know who he is. But it says, something comes into our own energies and capacities and expands them. We are laid hold of by something greater than ourselves. We face things, create things, accomplish things that are in our own strength we would not have been possible. The Holy Spirit seems to mix and mingle his power with our own, so that what happens is both a heightening of our own powers and the gift to us from the outside. This is as real and definite as attaching an appliance to an electrical outlet. It's tangible. Sometimes it's in conversations we have with other people, and I'm the one speaking, or actually, I think it's God speaking through me. And you know, this leads to something that my girls and I often call God moments or God conversations. I know Kelly and Ashley have a lot of God moments and God conversations. But it's when you become aware that the conversation has changed and it's not a normal conversation anymore. It's gone to a different level. And usually there's a presence of God that you feel, or an anointing that is there that just changes and charges the atmosphere. Let me give you a very, very simple example of something that I had happen, and this was years ago. I had read this phrase, and I don't know where I read it. It could have been on a greeting card or a plaque or something in the Christian bookstore. I don't know. But it stuck in my head. And the phrase was, the future is as bright as the promises of God. The future is as bright as the promises of God. And one day, after having had this in my head for probably a month, I was on the phone with a close friend, and she was going through a divorce, and she was discouraged. And in the middle of that conversation, I shared that phrase with her, the future is as bright as the promises of God. You know, it wasn't something I'd planned to tell her or to share with her or even thought about until that moment. And I didn't know why I shared it, but it broke something in her. And I believe that God planted that phrase in me for her for that moment. It was just something very simple. The third way that I've heard God is through the human spirit or the still small voice. Now, God addresses us through our own spirit, because after all, we are spirit beings. He uses our own spirit, our own thoughts and feelings. And the key is to renew our minds to the Word of God so that we're more sensitive to him and his word and what he's trying to say to us. And hearing God through the human spirit, there are so many facets of that. I think we could probably be here for days, just everybody sharing stories about, you know, how that's worked in their life. But I've got some examples I want to share with you. Sometimes I have an impression. Sometimes you might call it an unction. I think that's a word we used to use a lot more than we do anymore. But an impression about something. And you just know something and you don't really know why you know it. I think we used to say, you know that you know that you know. For instance, you might be impressed to buy somebody some groceries. And so you're at the store, and while you're there, you have this overwhelming impression that I need to buy this. Wasn't something you'd planned to pick up for them? Wasn't something you had on a list? It could be bananas or toilet paper or toothpaste. It could be anything. And sometimes it seems really bizarre, and we just blow it off and we don't obey. But here's the thing. He's trying to communicate with us for a reason. So if we take the chance, so what if we miss it? and we take them something that maybe they didn't need or they don't really have a use for. So what? But what if we don't miss it? What if the very thing that we buy and feel impressed to buy is God answering their prayer or their need? If we look at it as a learning opportunity, a lesson in listening and obeying, it may be just the thing that they need to show them how much God cares about them. And trust me, if you've ever been the recipient of toilet paper when you were trying to make that last roll stretch to payday, you appreciate people who can hear and obey God in the little things. And I can tell you, I've been on the giving end. I've been on the receiving end. And I've also been the person who missed it by not doing it. And it really makes you feel bad when you get there and you realize that, oh, yeah, that was God. I missed it. One story I want to share with you happened back in the 80s. Had a lot of things happen in the 80s. And he's still talking to me today. And this is another example of how I think God cares about the little things that matter to us, even the little stuff. Most of you know Teresa Mills. Many years ago, she watched our three girls for us. John would drop them off when he went to his second shift job about 2:30, 3 o'clock. I'd pick them up about 5:30 when I got off work. And so she babysat for us some. And at that time, she was a stay-at-home mom. And she decided to teach herself to sew. And she was really good at it. And there wasn't any pattern she wouldn't tackle. And she made things for people, and she'd made a dress for me and various ones in the church. But one day, I walked in the house to pick up the girls, and here hanging on her door to her dining room was this beautiful dress. And we were part of the worship team at that time, and it was just gorgeous. And it was cream and taupe colored. And it was a really trendy style. And it was princess lines. And if you've ever wanted to look slimmer, you know you want princess lines. And so I looked at this dress, and in my heart I said, that's my dress. And so I asked Teresa who she'd made the dress for. And she said she'd made it for Sharon, our pastor's wife. And I was kind of disappointed, but I didn't say anything. And, you know, months went by. And one evening, we were going over to our pastor's house for fellowship. And they were like spiritual parents to us. We spent a lot of time with them. We'd hang out, kind of like we do with Mike and Rachel. You know, we'd hang out. And we were going over there one night, and we were getting ready to leave the house. And I just knew that she was going to give me that dress that night. And it's like, why would she do that? We'd never had a conversation about that dress. She'd never mentioned that dress. But I believed it enough that I went back in the bedroom and I put on a pair of pantyhose under my blue jeans, because when I tried on that dress, I wanted to have the right things underneath of it. And, you know, it sounded kind of crazy, but I didn't say anything to John. I just put on my pantyhose and put my jeans back on. And so we got there, and we'd been there about an hour. And she said, how tall are you? And I said, well, I'm 5 foot. And she said, well, you know, a few weeks ago, I was standing behind you on the platform at church, and I just was noticing that you're quite a little bit shorter than I am. And then she told me that Teresa had made her this dress, and I knew exactly which dress she was talking about. But she said, you know, when she raised her hands on the platform, she thought it was just a little too short for her to wear. And so, would I like to try it on? And so I tried it on. And that's how God gave me my dress. And, you know, I told Sharon about the pantyhose, and she wasn't surprised. And we had a good laugh, and we talked about how good God was. Another way that I hear God is through situations. And sometimes it can be something I see or hear or experience. One day I was driving out to Mom and Dad's. This was just a few years ago. And I just noticed that the grass along the side of the road, it was covered in frost, and there was just enough ice on it and enough sun on it that it was beautiful. It's just gorgeous. Excuse me. So I began to ask God, is there something here you're wanting to show me? You know, because you ever just look at something and it just pops out at you? And sometimes it's something you're reading in a book. Sometimes it's the Word of God, a phrase or something will pop at you. But it was just like this grass alongside the road was just gorgeous, and it just really stood out to me. And so I began to ask him what it was he was trying to show me. And he said, I didn't say it, but in my spirit I knew that it was that that dead brown grass became beautiful when he touched it and he let his light shine on it. Just the same way he takes our dead, ugly lives and puts his light on them and makes us beautiful. And you know, the very next day I had the opportunity to share that with the worship team. And there was a man here visiting, and he'd come back into the worship room to get a cup of coffee that morning, and he kind of got stuck because we got ready to pray and he couldn't get out. But I shared that with the team, and when we were done, he said, you know, I think that was just for me. And I'm sure it probably was just for him. A couple of years ago, we were visiting some family out of town, and I believe God showed me some things through that. We'd gone to visit a niece and nephew that we've been really close with over the years. And we arrived about 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night. And, you know, it was already dark, but it was warm weather. And they invited us to come out and sit on the deck with them. So we went out there, and it was so nice. She had candles lit on several tables, and there was just enough moonlight that we could kind of make out the deck furniture, you know, where we were sitting. And there was this really cool shadow on the side of the house. And I was just really enjoying their company and the warm weather and the ambience of it all, you know, just wonderful. So we stayed up late and talked, and then we all went to bed. And I was the first one up, so I made some coffee and decided I'd go sit on the deck and enjoy it by myself before the rest of them got up. And when I got out there, I was shocked. I couldn't believe it was the same place. The deck furniture was dilapidated and dirty, and there was a layer of dust on everything. They had a swimming pool that they'd had for years, but it hadn't been cleaned up for the summer yet, and it was kind of a greenish-brown color. They had remodeled that spring, and they'd moved a doorway, and the trim wasn't finished, and there were pieces of siding missing from the side of the house. And that cool shadow that I'd seen that I thought was a tree, it was a big old black stain. Somebody had spilled something on the side of the house. And it just wasn't anything like it had appeared the night before. But I knew that there was a lesson there that God wanted to show me. And I, in my spirit, I felt like it was that things appear different in darkness. But in the light, in his light, all things are revealed as they actually are. I'm trying to learn to listen with all my senses. And when something stands out, I'm learning to ask if there's something that he's trying to communicate to me. And I really find this helpful when I'm reading the Bible. And if something stands out, while I'm reading, I might look up some related verses, or I might search a concordance, or even Webster, to figure out what it is he's trying to show me there. This book gave some very simple exercises in studying the Bible that I really liked. It suggested reading a passage three times, and then follow this pattern: read, reflect, respond, and rest. The first time you read it through, just to familiarize yourself with the passage. And then you reflect by reading again and seeing if anything stands out. And then the third time, you read it and you respond in prayer. And you ask God, what are you wanting to say here? And then you rest and you contemplate. Is there something that you want me to do? And then you just use that time to worship him, or just to be close to him. I believe that he talks through us all the time, and through things that we'll understand, things that relate to the life that as we know it. For me, it might be through plants or flowers and how they grow. I know he's talked to Ashley about cosmetology and how it relates to him, and I've heard her describe in great detail how God wants to be your perm. And if you ever get a chance to hear how God wants to be your perm, it's pretty detailed. He meets us where we are, and he speaks our language. And I encourage you to listen every day and ask God if there's something that he might be trying to say to you. Chances are you've been hearing from him for years. Something that stood out to me when I was reading the book was the title of a hymn. It just listed some songs. And just like it talks about something standing out here in this list of songs was the title of a hymn that I knew as a child. And I've asked Todd to pull that up and just to play that. And as he does, I just ask you to listen and just reflect for a minute on how God has led you through your life.